I'm just going to go ahead and these are just some pictures that I have. You can go ahead and pass those around. I'm Kirsten. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi, everybody. Thank you to Gail for allowing me to do this service. I always find that I get very nervous when I'm about to speak, and I realize it's because of what I've gotten from this program, from OA. I hope that I can say that I am a different person than I was almost 3 years ago when I walked into the doors. I always want to do this program justice anytime that I come up to speak. So I think sometimes I put pressure on myself to say, you know, something amazing, and then I realize that it's my story. So it is what it is, right? And one of the things that I heard when I first came into the rooms was you take what you need and you leave the rest. So hopefully maybe some part of my story today will resonate with you, and you'll take it. So to qualify, I came into OA for the second time in February 2011, and I came in, February 2011, and I've been abstinent for over 2.5 years. I had come in previously in 2006, and I left screaming for the hills because all I heard was, give up sugar, give up sugar, give up sugar. And I thought, there's no way that that is ever going to work for me. I can't. I didn't know at the time that I was a sugar addict, but I did know that I ate a lot of sugar. I knew that. So that was just a terrifying idea, and I left. And then in 2009, I was the pictures that I'm sending around. That was my highest weight. I was 233. I was so miserable. Oh my gosh, I was so miserable. I had sort of, you know, I had come in to, I was in a pay and weigh, and I had been doing that for over 10 years, and I had done the yo-yo of the, you know, the lose and the gain and the lose, and every time that I would gain, I would usually gain more than I had lost previously. And I didn't know why. You know, it was my failure. It was the thing that I could not do it. It was the willpower. It was and the people out there in my life, my family, my friends, they tried to be supportive, but it's probably frustrating for somebody like that who doesn't understand what we deal with to figure out, why can't you just not, you know, just don't do it, you know? There you go. So, after 12 years of just this defeated feeling, I finally went to therapy. And through this year, I did manage to white knuckle my sugar, and I did lose about 65 pounds. And then I could feel it coming back like that. You know, I was somehow the beast was getting kicked, and I knew it. I could just feel that I was going to lose this like hold that I had on my sugar. And so my therapist recommended that I come back to OA. And it was so interesting because I remember thinking in my head that I knew somehow, and now I think I can name that knowing, that intuition as higher power. I knew that it would work, and that terrified me. It scared me so much. I didn't know how it was going to work, but I knew that it was going to work. And I was so scared by that because I didn't know if I could live my life without the food, without that support, that comfort. So I did come back, and I did get a sponsor. And my abstinence, actually, for me, it happened very quickly. It was a situation where my sponsor, you know, through talking, she obviously, like, figure out very quickly that my issue was sugar. And I'm so grateful that I am a sugar addict because it's so clear for me. It is so cut and dried for me. My abstinence is so cut and dried. I'm not saying it's easy, but I understand what it needs to be. It is not a food plan. My abstinence has nothing to do with my food plan. It has nothing to do with what I eat every day. The way that I eat is completely separate from my abstinence, because my abstinence is those things that I do not ever eat. I don't touch those things. And so from the very beginning, my sponsor realized that for me, sugar was my trigger. And she didn't say that, but she very gently guided me towards this understanding. And in March, in April of 2011, I had my first day without a Coca-Cola Classic, which, if you ever talk to my dentist, you will know that I had major issues until age 37 with that drink. I mean, that was my number one form of sugar, really. Whether the beauty of that of drinking is that even if you're eating, you know, salty foods, you can still get your sugar from the drink. So it was definitely. It was a day where I realized that just for today, literally just for today, I will not drink this substance. That's all I have to focus on is this day. And I remember being pissed. I do. I remember being really, really annoyed. And I remember, I know my friends tell me now that I was not a very pleasant person to be around when I was starting out. Like I said, it wasn't easy, but it was simple. It was like, just don't pick that up. Don't pick that up. Okay. And I got through that day and then the next day and the next day. And then I realized a month had gone by. Wow, that was simple, right? But all I had given up at that point was Coke. So every baked good that was like available at the grocery store was, you know, it was still game. So I realized that if I can do that, maybe just for today, I can do this. And I sat down and I wrote my red light list. And those are the things that, by the grace of my higher power and this program, I have not touched for over 2.5 years. And the thing that strikes me often is when people talk about having a slip. And is it a slip or is it a relapse? I have had many slips in the past 2.5 years. Absolutely. I have slipped. I don't do this perfectly. I don't do this in any way close to perfectly. I'm a compulsive overeater. But if I eat an extra helping of something, to me, that is not a break in my abstinence. Because for me, this is what would happen. I look at a plate of cookies, let's say, and I think to myself, I don't want one. I want all of them. Every single one of them. And that keeps me abstinent today. If I were to indulge in that one, guys, I would be off. I would be gone. All the service that I have put my heart into, all of my sponsees that I work with, my friends, my family, my fellowship, you guys here right now, it would be lost to me because I wouldn't give a shit anymore. And I apologize, sorry, for the cursing. But that's what keeps me abstinent. That's what keeps me from just for today. It gives me the strength for when I see something that I want, because God knows there are those days and those moments and those minutes when I want it. But I think about that every time, that there is so much more important. There's so much more important. There are so many more important things than that brief respite, which would not be brief. It wouldn't be brief. Because there have been things that have been produced in the past 2.5 years I've never had the pleasure of consuming. And I'm telling you, I would go and I would do some serious research. I mean, it would not be a pretty thing. It would not be. So that is for me, my abstinence, and I've heard it said this way, my abstinence is my way of life. It is my way of life. It is the one thing that keeps me coming back to these rooms. How much time do I have?
11 minutes.
Okay. There was a moment when I one of my meetings, and for those of you, I do see many familiar faces who have heard this. Please forgive me. But it was such... It was such a turning point for me. It was such a moment of understanding about what my addiction really is about for me. I was in a meeting and we had a speaker and she read a quote from For Today. It's May 26th. It's Khalil Gibran. And I'm going to read it to you now. The lust for comfort, that stealthy thing that enters the house a guest, then becomes a host, and then a master. And when that quote was read, I got chills. I just got chills again, but I literally got chills up and down my body, and I understood maybe just a little bit more about myself and about this disease, because my comfort was always food. And for me, it was always sugar, always and forever. And I didn't get comfort in family and friends. I got anxiety in that situation, and I would find myself always wanting to leave a family function and be able to go and comfort myself the way that I wanted to. What am I going to go get tonight when I go home? Not listening to conversations, not being in the moment. I was always out there, even in my classroom with my students, and I hate to say that, but it's true. So now I think I am a better teacher, I'm a better sister, better daughter, better friend, because I can take moments to get out of my own head. And when I feel that need for some sort of food, I know something's going on that I need to look at, you know? And it's such an amazing gift that now I can think to myself, my default is probably always going to be food, and that's okay, because that's how I'm wired now, and that's fine. But as long as I can say, just for today, I'm not going to have that thing that comforts me. I'm going to call a fellow on the phone, or I'm going to go to a meeting, or I'm going to pray, which I did not have the ability to do before this program because I had no concept of a higher power, that I can speak to my higher power. All of those things that I can do now, those are my comforts, you know, that lust for comfort. And I can comfort myself now with these things that make me feel good and that make me feel whole and don't take away anything from me. So that quote affected me so much. And any feeling that I have now, and wow, being able just to even say that, to feel my feelings, because I didn't know how to do that before either. OA takes care of those feelings, and you know, takes care of me. Like I was saying, I mentioned briefly before sponsees. When I first started OA, I remember walking into the rooms and being very interested in how the workings of the meeting happened. You know, how does this person know where they're supposed to be, and why are there books over there, and you know, why does that person have a timer, and how does everybody know how it's supposed to work? And I was very curious about it. And of course, it's all service. So I just wanted to put a little plug in for service, because service is one of those things that keeps me abstinent. I am able to be abstinent because I do service in my meetings, because I know that there's somebody outside of me. It's not, oh, woe is me, you know, Kirsten's this and Kirsten's that. Take yourself out of that moment where you're lusting for that comfort of food and call a fellow, call somebody else, not to talk to them about how you're feeling, but to say, how are you doing right now? How do you feel right now? And every time I do service, I am able to do that for myself, to get myself out of my own head. And are there times when I take on a little bit too much? Yes, maybe there are. But I would rather take on too much in OA any day and be exhausted at the end of the day but feel so grateful than be sitting literally on my couch in my apartment in front of the television and making the trek back and forth and back and forth and back and forth from the kitchen to the couch, from the kitchen to the couch, with brief naps in between, right? Like to, oh my gosh, I'm so sickeningly full. I'll take a 20-minute nap and then I'll start again. And I can't believe that now I can say that 3 years ago, that was what I did for my comfort. That's what I did. And I don't need to do those things anymore. So, like I said, this is my story. This is my experience. One of the final things, do I have a final?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. Okay. Well, I'll try to drag this one out then. No, I'm just kidding. one final thought that I had about my abstinence, and this is something that I do try to share with my sponsees, and I say this frequently, is that it is so much easier to stay abstinent than it is to get abstinent. And I remember when I was getting abstinent, which now I think, you know, if you have 10 minutes, you're abstinent. I mean, when you are not compulsively overeating, you're abstinent. Right now, we're all abstinent because we've been here for 15 minutes and nobody's compulsively eating anything, right? So yay us. Truly. But when I was working out my, you know, my red light list and what is this going to look like, I remember so clearly being on the phone with my sponsor. And I was so angry. I was so angry because I think this was when I had just written all of my, you know, baked goods and everything on my red light list. And I was pissed. Oh my gosh. And I was literally, it was not a great moment for me, screaming into the phone, bawling my eyes out. I was screaming at my poor sponsor. And I was like, I know we say this is just for today, but it's not. It's the rest of my life. And she was calm. She was compassionate. And she said, no, Kirsten, it's just for today. And it's the truth. It really is. And there is such beauty in those words because that's all I ever, and obviously, you know, logically, we have to plan somewhat for our future. Okay, fine. Yeah, retirement and things like that. But where my food is concerned, where my service is concerned, where my care about my fellows is concerned, where all of that is concerned, all I have is today. I can't do anything about tomorrow. And there is something so freeing about that. I find so much... I feel so much gratitude when I remember that what I'm doing today is just for today. And I can do anything for this day. I can do anything for this day. And when I do feel scared or that lust for that comfort, and my automatic reaction is food, now I have all of these tools. The trick is to use them. And that can be hard too. I heard just recently, ODAT, one day at a time, takes practice. It takes practice. It's not like we're going to go through, let me speak for myself, I'm not going to go through 37 years of doing something a certain way, and then boom, okay, now I've got it. Yay, this is easy, right? It takes practice. It takes practice to pick up the phone. It takes practice to drive to a meeting. I have people who are amazed that I will go to 2 meetings a week, you know, and I don't schedule, if I can help it, I don't schedule anything else ever on those times. That I wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and go to a Saturday morning meeting. That's like insane. But it's not. It is my pleasure. It is my pleasure to do that because that starts my weekend out right. So abstinence for me is the most important part like literally the most important part of my program, because without abstinence, I don't have a relationship with my higher power. I could say that higher power is my most important part, but the problem with that is if I were to get back into the sugar, that communication would be gone. I wouldn't have the willingness anymore to listen. I wouldn't be able to hear any of the intuition that I have gained from this program. I wouldn't hear any of it. It would be blocked. It would be gone. And I would be so forcefully in the food. You know, I wouldn't have a hope. So for me, abstinence is my number one most important thing. And all the other tools, food plan included, those are over there. Because I can't work, I can't use those tools if I'm not abstinent. That's my story. So I, you know, don't want to offend anybody by my opinions, but that's how it has worked for me. And just for today, hopefully it will continue to work that way. So thank you all so much for letting me share and for this service. Wow, I did that perfectly.